पतिला को भूमि रुक्माए गृहं प्रविष्टो गुरु वंदनाय नाचा पश्यात् पितरौ सौ बलिं च अजाता शत्रु कृता मैत्रो हुताग्निर् विप्रान्नत्वा तिलको भूमि रुक्माए गृहं प्रविष्टो गुरु वंदनाय नाचा पश्या पितरौ सौ बलिं च अजाता Never born. Shatru, enemy. Krita, having performed. Maitraha, worshipping the demigods. Huta Agni, an offering fuel in the fire. Vipran, the brahmanas. Natva, offering obeisances. Tilago bhumi rukmai. Along with grains, cows, land, and gold. Griham, within the palace. Pravishtaha, having entered into. Guru Vandanaya, for offering respect to the elderly members. Na, did not. Cha, also. Apashyat, see. Pitaro, his uncles. Shaubalim. Gandhari, cha, also. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthir, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the brahmanas. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subala. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the most pious king because he personally practiced daily the pious duties for the householders. The householders are required to rise early in the morning, and after bathing they should offer respects to the deities at home by prayers, by offering fuel in the sacred fire, by giving the brahmanas in charity land, cows, grains, gold, etc. And at last, offering to the elderly members due respects and obeisances. One who is not prepared to practice injunctions prescribed in the Shastras cannot be a good man simply by book knowledge. Modern householders are practiced to different modes of life, namely to rise late and then take bed tea without any sort of cleanliness and without any purificatory practices as mentioned above. The household children are taken to practice what the parents practice, and therefore the whole generation glides towards hell. Nothing good can be expected from them unless they associate with sadhus. Like Dhritarashtra, the materialistic person may take lessons from a sadhu like Vidura and thus be cleansed of the effects of modern life. Maharaj Yudhishthira, however, could not find in the palace his two uncles, namely Dhritarashtra and Vidura, along with Gandhari, the daughter of King Subala. He was anxious to see them and therefore asked Sanjaya, the private secretary of Dhritarashtra. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunjitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadha Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Maharaj Yudhishthira, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering sacrifice to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the brahmanas. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subala. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, we are hearing how when Vidura, he arrived back in Hastinapur to deliver his elder brother Dhritarashtra, and when his mission was successful, he left the palace. So not only did he leave the palace, but even Dhritarashtra and his wife Gandhari, they also left incognito. So in today's verse we are hearing that his Vidura's instructions are over, and because Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra in a very cutting manner, so Dhritarashtra was given very, very firm and heavy instructions about the reality of life. So we have heard in the previous verses how Vidura spoke about the time factor, how time is bringing one closer to death and so on and so forth. So he basically shook up the Dhritarashtra, and then Dhritarashtra woke up to the reality and he became a Dhira. So he did not become a Narottama, but he became a Dhira. And he then, because he realized that yes, life is meant to achieve enlightenment, so and at least in his last stage of life, at the fag end of life, he should devote it fully for spiritual advancement. So he left for the north, and his wife Gandhari voluntarily followed him, and Vidura also left. So this happened overnight. So now the next morning, Maharaj Yudhishthira is performing his morning, after performing his morning duties, then he goes to pay respects to his uncle, and then he finds that both of his uncles are not there. Vidura and Dhritarashtra are not there, and even Gandhari is not there. So here Srila Prabhupada, a lot of nice points are here. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the importance of rising early in the purport. So all of this is happening early in the morning, in the early hours. And it's interesting, it said, the verse starts off with Ajata Shatru Krita Maitro Hutagni. Ajata Shatru. In other words, Yudhishthira, Maharaj Yudhishthira, whose enemy was never born. Ajata Shatru, which means enemy which is never born. So Maharaj Yudhishthira actually never had an enemy. So this is why, therefore it says his enemy was never born. In fact, he didn't. The reason it's used here is because he didn't see Dhritarashtra as his enemy. Though Dhritarashtra saw Maharaj Yudhishthira as his enemy. Not only Maharaj Yudhishthira, but even the other Pandavas, he saw them as his enemy, because when one is bewildered by the duality of the material world, then one begins to see in terms of friends and enemies. So in the spiritual world, or on the Krishna conscious platform, there is no conception of friend and enemy, friendship and enmity. But this is the material conception of life. And even Krishna says that he has no friends or enemies, he is not partial to anyone. But he is partial to his devotees. But when we accept a material body, then we automatically begin to act in that way, because friendship means someone who will facilitate our sense gratification. That's friendship. Friendship means because we are lacking something, and therefore we need someone else to fulfill us in whatever we are lacking. And then we form alliances, and that's called friendship. And then the enmity is the opposite. An enmity means someone who is coming in the way of my sense gratification. They are my enemy. So a conditioned soul is bewildered by these dualities, because a conditioned soul wants sense gratification. Because we are identifying with the body, therefore a conditioned soul will want to satisfy the needs of the body, and that's their prime necessity. So whoever comes in the way of the sense gratification, they automatically become an enemy. So on an individual level and on a collective level, we see that's what enmity is about. So here it's mentioned that Maharaj Yudhishthira, whose enemy was never born, he had no enemies, because Maharaj Yudhishthira is also Dharmaraj. And he's such an exalted devotee that he did not see anyone as his enemy, though others were inflicting miseries upon him. So this is a very, very exalted platform of Krishna consciousness, like Prahlad Maharaj. So Maharaj Yudhishthira did not see Dhritarashtra as an enemy, and in fact he was maintaining Dhritarashtra. That was his position. And he wasn't maintaining Dhritarashtra in a grudging mood, okay, you know, out of formality. Yeah, he's my uncle, he maintained me. He looked after me when I was young, I was fatherless. So now out of duty and respect I'll do it. But no, he was actually maintaining him with deep gratitude. And in the next verse we'll hear that he was in great anxiety when Dhritarashtra left home. And he took it upon himself. He thought it's his fault, because maybe he didn't look after them properly, or he thought because of his offenses, in the sense that he was responsible for killing Dhritarashtra's 100 sons. So he thought because of his offenses he has drowned himself in the Ganges. So that's the platform of Maharaj Yudhishthira, such an exalted devotee, that he did not see Dhritarashtra as an enemy. It's very interesting. In fact, a devotee, when one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, whatever reverses there are in the life of a devotee, he sees that as the mercy of the Lord. So in all situations, the devotee begins to see the hand of the Lord. So when someone is giving him or her a hard time, then he or she thinks that maybe Krishna wants me to learn something from this situation. There is something for my purification in this circumstance, the circumstance I'm placed in. So as aspiring devotees, we should also develop this mood of seeing the hand of the Lord in every situation in our life. And sometimes we can even see other devotees as an enemy. So because this bodily conception of life is very strong, therefore we also have this dual vision, friendship and enmity. So whoever is facilitating me in my desires, they are my friend. And someone who is coming in my way, even in Krishna consciousness, you know, not letting me do this or that, or saying this or that, or this devotee did this to me, you know, then they are my enemy. But we should try to see the hand of the Lord in every situation. So here Maharaj Yudhishthira is saying he didn't have any enemy. Then one might think, then why did he fight the battle of Kurukshetra? Generally when you fight, that means you know, you see someone as an enemy, that's why you fight. And the reason so many wars are fought in the material world, on the material platform, is it's because of enmity, because someone is coming in the way of their sense gratification, whether it is on a national level or on an individual level. So even on a national level, so many wars are fought because usually it's for resources. You know, one country wants to dominate certain resources and some other country is in the way. So these days a lot of wars are fought over water, oil, you know, very strategic resources. And that's the same thing, because they want to enjoy material life and some other country also wants to enjoy. So therefore they are the enemy. But Maharaj Yudhishthira, he didn't have any such enemy, and the reason he fought the war was on principles of dharma. So that's something totally different. In fact, he didn't want to be the king. But, you know, it was Krishna's instruction, okay, you become the king and you guide the general masses of people to be Krishna conscious. And it was their nature also to rule. So based on all spiritual principles, they fought. And in fact, he was sad when he saw millions of soldiers were dead, and he took it upon himself that they died because of me. So, you know, this is the caliber of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So here in this verse, he's performing his daily morning duties, as is described in the verse, by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land and gold to the brahmanas. So here we see the importance of rising early in the morning and offering respects to the brahmanas and to the elderly members of society. So why we rise early in the morning? Because the morning hours are in the mode of goodness. So as we know, there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion and ignorance. And we by nature are transcendental to the three modes as a spirit soul. But because we are conditioned by material nature, therefore we are affected by the three modes of nature. So we can, you know, we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the mantra is transcendental. And actually one can chant any time of the day and be above the three modes, if one is situated on the pure Krishna conscious platform. But because we are not a pure devotee, we are conditioned, therefore we have to take shelter of the mode of goodness to rise to the Vishuddha Sattva, to the pure goodness platform. So in the 11th canto also it's mentioned that, I think in teaching the Maharaj Nimi, that one should arrange one's life to be in the mode of goodness. And Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita. There's the three modes. And the mode of goodness is like the platform, the jumping platform onto the mode of pure goodness. And therefore we by nature are a Brahminical society. So Brahminical society means the mode of goodness, at least. So even in all the varnas, the Brahminical culture is common. So whether one's a Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya or a Brahmana, in all four varnas and ashramas, the Brahminical culture pervades. And this is the bare minimum, like rising early in the morning. And these activities are common for all the four varnas. It's not that this is only for the Brahmanas. So it's, and even Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized so much, and you can read so many of Prabhupada's letters to various devotees, the leaders and so many other people. And his books, again and again, he emphasizes the importance of rising early. Because morning is in the mode of goodness. The day is divided into three modes. The morning hours up till 9 a.m. are predominantly in the mode of goodness. Then the mode of passion kicks in. Then the evening hours are in the mode of ignorance. So, because we are conditioned, we will be influenced by these modes. You know, we are pushed. At night time, why do so many people go to pubs and they are more prone to engage in illicit sex? Because the evening hours are in the mode of ignorance, and one is pushed by the modes of nature. We are pushed. The modes of nature are very, very powerful. So in the mode of passion, everyone is engaged like ants running here and there. You see, ants, they are so active. They are, you know, engaged in economic development. That's what they're doing. You know, they are building the ant hole, bringing supplies, stalking them. Then, you know, they have their affairs. There's the queen. They're being directed. There's a whole civilization there under the earth. So, because of the mode of passion, there is so much activity. And during the daytime, everyone is active. They're doing things, running around. But the morning hours are in the mode of goodness. And that's when most of the people are sleeping, as Prabhupada is mentioning here. So, because people are situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, and in Kali Yuga predominantly in the mode of ignorance, so we don't find many people rising early. And even if they do rise early in the morning, it is to facilitate their passionate activities. So sometimes we do find, you know, if you ride 5 or 6 o'clock, so many people are, you know, riding their bike, running early in the morning, or some are traveling to work. Sometimes people wake up at 4 o'clock just to work at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. For that they are ready to wake up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock even, I've seen. But if you ask someone, you know, come to the temple at 4:30, oh, you know, that's too early in the morning. I cannot do that. But if it's for work purposes, they'll wake up at 2 a.m. and go to work. So because people are very passionate and ignorant, they are influenced by those times of the day and those modes. So morning hours are especially conducive for spiritual life. And we see in all genuine religions, their religious practices are done early in the morning. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning the pious duties for the householders. This is especially for the householders, what to speak for the brahmacharis and those who are in the renounced order of life. So here this culture of rising early, Srila Prabhupada in his purport is stressing this is for the householders. And Prabhupada is also stressing, well, not in this verse, but in so many other purports, Srila Prabhupada stresses the importance of deity worship for the householders. So this culture of rising early, this is part of the Brahminical culture. It's part of that. And when we rise early in the morning, we are recommended to offer Mangal Aarti. You know, we chant Hare Krishna, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and engage in Kirtan. And in this way, we cover most of the 64 items of sadhana bhakti. And then during the day, we engage our senses in Krishna service, or some people are working. But even whether one is working outside or in the temple, the principle is that one should rise early. And if someone is living close to the temple, they should come to the temple and attend the temple programs. But if someone's far away, then one should have a deity at home. After one takes permission from one's spiritual master, one should establish the deity and worship the deity. And then one should rise early in the morning. Because if we don't rise early in the morning, it's impossible to chant our rounds attentively. Because we will be influenced by the modes of nature during the day. It's impossible to chant attentively for us. For those who are, you know, neophytes and conditioned. And Prabhupada also judged devotees' progress by seeing how much they were attending the morning program. You can tell someone if they are serious in their spiritual life if they attend the morning program or not on a regular basis. And that was the criteria for initiation also. Chanting 16 rounds, attending the morning program, doing one service nicely, then one gets initiated. And here Prabhupada mentions in the purport that modern householders, they are practiced to rise late. So these days people rise at, I don't know what time, maybe. I used to sleep at between 2 and 4 every day, a.m. And then I used to rise at 11. So students, especially students, they don't rise early. Especially when there's, for uni students, consider if there's a lecture at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., that's very early in the morning. they like to have the lecture start at 10 or 11 a.m. And for that also, you know, they'll rise at 9:30. Just rise, first thing is switch on TV or go on Facebook. As Prabhupada mentions here, first thing people do is they have their tea in bed.
Bed tea.
Bed tea. And that's so mushy. Because, and we also used to do that. I used to do that also. I used to ask my mother to bring me, you know, some breakfast. And people, now it's called bed and breakfast. You know, it, motel that says bed and breakfast. So, breakfast is provided in bed. You just rise in the morning and then there's breakfast. And that's horrible, that's terrible. But those who are in the mode of ignorance, they relish that. But when we rise in the morning, first thing we have to do is offer our obeisances to our spiritual master. Then we go to the bathroom, clean our tongue, brush our teeth, shave our face, you know, then clear your bowels, then take a shower, and then come to the temple and offer Mangalarti. So this is the Brahminical culture, and this is the bare minimum. That this is just the minimum standard, and Srila Prabhupada expected all devotees to do this. That's just the bare minimum. And especially if we are living in the temple, then there's no excuse not to attend the morning program, because there's full facility to do that. When one works outside, then it's a bit hard. If one has a family and one is working outside, then one has to do one's best in that circumstance. Still, the principle remains, rise early and chant most of your rounds before you go to work. So here on Prabhupada, it's mentioned further in the text that Maharaj Yudhishthira, then he was praying, offering five sacrifices to the sun god, offering obeisances, grains, cows, land and gold to the brahmanas. Of course, today we can't do this. You know, every morning we can't rise. The principle is one should offer respect to the brahmanas. We cannot offer land because no one has any land. Or someone might just have a small flat and that's also on a mortgage. So you really can't offer it to the brahmanas. Well, it doesn't even belong to you. Even if you wanted to, it belongs to the bank. So you can't offer it. There's hardly anyone has any gold. We all are wearing plastic, right? You know, all our jewelry is plastic and crude oil. That's what it is. Grains, again, there's not much food. But the principle is that one should offer respects to the brahmanas. And if one has sufficient opulences, then one should do that. And here, because Maharaj Yudhishthira, he's a king and he's setting the example for society as a whole to follow the path of dharma. So here he's offering worship to the sun god, who's a demigod. So one might ask, why is Yudhishthira performing demigod worship? Because society at that time was following the path of Vedic culture, and not everyone was on the platform of Krishna consciousness. So he had to set the right example by following the Vedic path. And therefore, he is, in a sense, like performing demigod worship to set the right example. But the principle is that one should offer respects to the brahmanas. Because why one should offer respects to the brahmanas? There are four classes of men in society, four civilized classes of men. There's the shudras, the vaishyas, the kshatriyas and the brahmanas. And the brahmanas are the best of the twice born. So even the other varnas are also twice born, like the vaishyas, the kshatriyas, they are also twice born. But the brahmanas are the best of the twice born. So as I said, Brahminical culture is common to all of them. But the brahmanas are the most Brahminical. And therefore they are the spiritual master of the entire human society. For those of you who are Brahminically initiated, you are the spiritual master of entire human society. So that's the position of a Brahmana. So they are the best of the twice born because Brahma Janati Brahmana. Iti Brahma Janati Brahmana. That in other words, a Brahmana is one who knows Brahman. That's a Brahmana. So Brahmana means he should know Brahman. So generally the Brahmanas know the impersonal Brahman feature of the Lord. But the Brahmana being referred here is a Vaishnava Brahmana who knows the highest aspect of the Brahman of Brahman, which is the Bhagavan aspect. So a Brahmana should know Vishnu or Krishna. And the Brahmanas are situated in the mode of goodness. And therefore, and they lead society as a whole to the mode of goodness and to the Brahman platform, which is the Krishna conscious platform. Therefore, they are to be respected. And in fact, Krishna himself respects the Brahmanas. Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So even when we sing these prayers, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, that Krishna worships the cows and the Brahmanas. So Krishna himself upholds the Brahminical culture. And we can see in the pastime of the cursing of Jai and Vijay, when the four Kumaras they wanted to have darshan of Lord Narayan, so they went to Vaikuntha. They reached the gates and then they crossed the six gates. And when they reached to the seventh gate, Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers, stopped them, and they did not permit them to enter into the spiritual realm, into Vaikuntha. They were at the border. So the four Kumaras got very offended by Jai and Vijay, and they cursed Jai and Vijay to fall down into the material world. Right? That was the curse, right? And at that time, Lord Padmanabha, he understood what's going on, and with the Goddess of Fortune, he came to the gate, accompanied by the Goddess of Fortune. He came to the gate, and at that time, He came to the gate, and then he himself personally apologized to the four Kumaras who were also Brahmanas. And he said that, I apologize for the mistake of my men. And that is in fact my mistake, because that I'll take that as my fault, as my mistake, because they have disrespected you. And so there in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many verses and purports which talk about the importance of respecting the Brahmanas. So I'll just read you maybe one or two verses from that section. So there the Lord says that, he says, to me the Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me, because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself, and therefore I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So here the Brahmana Krishna is referring to is of course the Vaishnava Brahmana. So the Brahmanas are, even to Krishna's eyes, they are the highest. And here the Lord is himself setting an example by worshipping the Brahmanas and showing due respect. So this shows how much we have to show respect to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So and even society as a whole, if they neglect the cows and the Brahmanas, they are committing offenses, and that's the path to hell. And all social projects are bound to be failure. In fact, they should be giving all facilities to the Krishna consciousness movement, because it's predominantly, it's a Brahminical society. And there Lord Padmanabha, he further on, he says that I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmanas, who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. So, here also in this verse we see Maharaj Yudhishthira is offering fire sacrifice to the sun god. So there are many ritualistic brahmanas who do that, who do yagyas and offer sacrifice. And the yagya is the mouth of the Lord. So then there's the yagya going on. The sacrificial fire is the mouth of Lord Vishnu. And through that Lord Vishnu accepts sacrificial offerings. But if someone feeds a devotee brahmana, that's even more pleasing to the Lord than the sacrifices offered by the ritualistic brahmanas. So of course, so I know a lot of devotees, they go to other devotees' houses and they are being fed, and that's very nice, because that's a very nice culture. But when devotees are going, they should not go with the consciousness that yes, we'll just go and eat. It should be okay. Yeah, we're going there and as a service, and we go there and glorify Krishna and speak something about Krishna and chant the Lord's names. And then that's a very nice reciprocation. And we see that this principle is exploited, especially in India. You go to the dhams, and there are so many pandas, and there they'll say, yes, I'm a brahmana, you should feed me, you know, feed the brahmanas, give 100 rupees or 1000 rupees, and or if you give 10 rupees or 50 rupees, they'll say it's not enough, you have to give more. So yeah, and they exploit this feeding the brahmanas. Yes, the brahmanas are to be fed, and Lord Vishnu is more pleased when you feed the brahmanas. He eats through them. But the duty of the brahmanas is to disseminate Krishna consciousness in society. So they're not doing that part. There's no divya gyan being imparted. They're not taught teaching people how to perform yagya, patan, patan. All these six items of Brahminical culture are not being taught. Therefore, they cannot demand to be fed. And then further on, Lord Vishnu says, the brahmanas, the cows and the defenseless creatures are my own body. So here he is saying that the cows, the brahmanas, they are his own body. And if one neglects them, one will go to the court of Yamraj. And we see in a proper human society, the brahmanas, the cows, the women, the old men and children are to be offered protection. And even the four varnas, of the four varnas, the Shudras, the Vaishyas and the Brahmanas are to be offered protection by the Kshatriyas. But of all three, the Brahmanas are the most important and they have to be offered the most protection, because the Brahmanas are the head of society. So without a head, a body cannot function. So the Brahmanas give direction to the society. And even in ISKCON, like we have the GBC. The GBC is basically a Brahminical body which is giving direction to the leaders of in Krishna consciousness. So they guide them how to lead society as a whole. And it said that even if a Brahmana speaks in a harsh way to someone, one should not retaliate in such a manner. And the example is given of a father. Sometimes a father speaks in a harsh way to a son, And generally the son will not retaliate in the same manner. If one is cultured, one will not speak against one's father. You know, if someone's from a decent family, good family, one will not talk back to one's superior or an elder. So when we see Arjuna, he did not want to kill Dronacharya and who was it? His superiors. Bhishma, yes. So that's a cultured society. So if one should not, so in the same way, if a Brahmana chastises us or curses us, one should not retaliate in the same way. And we see that in the example of Jaya and Vijay, when they were cursed by the four Kumaras, they did not curse back, they did not retaliate. So let's read one last verse and then we'll stop there. So here Lord Padmanabha says, O Lord, you are the protector of the highest of the twice born. If you do not offer them, if you do not protect them by offering worship and mild words, then certainly the auspicious path of worship will be rejected by people in general, who act on the strength and authority of your lordship. So here Krishna himself is emphasizing the importance of Brahminical culture. So because they have to be protected so they can guide society as a whole. So any quick questions or comments? Yes, probably.
You explained it now program in Sudan.
Yeah.
How Krishna respects Sudan.
Yes, there, that's a very nice
example.
Yeah.
Everybody will think.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Nowadays, as you were saying, people are in complete ignorance. When I was coming today, I saw Mitra tattoo and how to expose your body. This is what this society is teaching.
Yeah.
Art of exposing the body and tattooing.
That's right.
Big advertisement.
Yeah.
So this is what you see. This.
That's
and
right.
And the television is getting so worse now.
Yeah.
So many things. I'll tell you one personal example. I had a friend when we were about to go to medical school. And it so happened that he was admitted to the medical body.
Yeah.
So I was telling the deities, Lord, how a Brahmana was eating, he got into such a nice college, and I was blessed at that time. But I didn't realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to send me to the best medical school, the All India School of Medical Sciences. My colleagues are professors at Harvard University. So you can see the culture is so deteriorating now.
Yeah.
And I would say, at that time I was right, how a non-Brahmana is eating meat and he got the person. We see so many things all in the society.
Yeah.
Actually, we should respect to all three of you, Hope Pranda and all you, all of you. Because you are making such nice exposition of Bhagavatam verse and giving such nice deity worship. So, actually, personally, my love, you should be giving some extra pay from the honor of the body. For doing such all Brahmana and Brahmachari and Brahmacharini. This is, if I were the, and you say that, I don't know this thing. All is from Brahmachari and Brahmacharini, the extra money. So that they can do more teaching and more prasadam speech. That's my comment for today's lecture. Today's Prabhupada's purport is completely about the social, how to upgrade the social system. So when I read that, I said, this is the right time to speak something about my people. Tattooing and how to expose, art of expose the body. This is the theme of the. So government is paying money for those. I'm not to be Brahmachari, they are doing so much service.
The Brahmacharis get looked after quite nicely here. Okay.
Extra.
Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Bhagavatam ki.